Hello and welcome to Truth in Journalism, a radio broadcast dedicated to applying the Word of God to current events. Well, today on Truth in Journalism, we're going to talk about cover-ups. Our story is entitled, An American Coup Attempt, Time May Be Running Out to Expose the Effort to Overthrow Trump, which began before his election. An op-ed by Senator Ron Johnson for the Wall Street Journal. The U.S. is in a constitutional crisis. It began on the day of President Trump's election when unelected bureaucrats mobilized against his presidency. This is a crisis in the executive branch perpetrated by subordinate officials who don't see themselves as answerable to the president. They have effectively established a fourth branch of government, a permanent, unaccountable bureaucracy. The first public display of insurrection began with leaked transcripts of Mr. Trump's phone calls with Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto on January 27, 2017, and Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull the following day. As the Senate Homeland Security Committee reported, the Trump administration was plagued with 62 leaks, possibly endangering national security, in its first 125 days, compared with 9 such leaks under George W. Bush and 8 under Barack Obama. In 2019, a whistleblower upped the ante by leaking details of Mr. Trump's phone call with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. This fueled Mr. Trump's impeachment in December. Between those examples of mutiny against the president, corrupt actors within the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and apparently, based on recent disclosures, other parts of the intelligence community, they used their power to sabotage the administration. Their actions can only be described as an attempted coup, as the Ukraine whistleblower's attorney Mark Zaid did in January 30, 2017, tweet, hashtag coup has started. First of many steps, hashtag rebellion, hashtag impeachment will follow ultimately. Throughout this constitutional crisis, many journalists abetted the plotters by abandoning even the pretense of objectivity and claiming that Mr. Trump poses a grave threat to the country. These members of the press were willing recipients of leaks that created and perpetuated the false narrative that the Trump campaign colluded with Russia. Not one member of the media has exposed these sources of false information. They know who the leakers and plotters are. They won't tell you. Fortunately, there are people who are working to uncover the truth. Former House Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes, Attorney General William Barr, former Acting Director of National Intelligence Richard Grenell, his successor John Ratcliffe, and my committee, along with the Senate Finance and Judiciary Committees, are working to declassify important information and make it public. Unfortunately, uncovering the truth isn't easy, and time may be running out. Should Joe Biden win the presidency, the truth may be hidden forever. Here's what we know so far. On July 5, 2016, then-FBI Director James Comey overstepped his authority and publicly exonerated Hillary Clinton while criticizing her conduct. The same day in London, the FBI met with Christopher Steele, author of the now-debunked anti-Trump dossier. U.S. intelligence agencies received reporting that Russians believed Hillary Clinton approved a plan on 26 July 2016 to, quote, stir up a scandal, end quote, by tying Trump to Russian hacking of a Democrat National Committee email server. Then CIA Director John Brennan later briefed President Obama about this reporting. Also on July 26, a friendly foreign government gave the charge d'affaires at the U.S. Embassy in London information that George Papadopoulos, quote, suggested the Trump team had received some kind of suggestion that Russia might release information damaging to the Clinton campaign, according to a December report from the Justice Department's Inspector General. At that time, according to public reports, Gina Haspel, now CIA director, was the agency's chief of station in London. On July 31, 2016, the FBI opened Crossfire Hurricane, its intelligence probe into the Trump campaign, based on the Papadopoulos information. The FBI received Mr. Steele's initial reports on July 5, 2016. The Bureau soon became aware the Steele dossier was opposition research compiled and paid for by the Democrat National Committee and Clinton campaign. By October 2016, the FBI was aware that one of Mr. Steele's subsources worked for Russian intelligence services. In December 2016, the FBI learned that Mr. Steele's primary subsource was someone it had investigated in 2009 as a suspected Russian asset. In January 2017, the FBI interviewed the primary subsource, who described his reporting as the kind of conversation you'd have, quote, with friends over beers, end quote. Around that same time, the FBI received intelligence reporting that the Steele dossier contained Russian disinformation. Yet, in March 2018, the FBI briefed the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence that information in the Steele dossier was reliable. We have reached the moment of truth. For years, our efforts to obtain documents and testimony from federal intelligence agencies, including the FBI and CIA, have been stonewalled. Now, Mr. Trump has authorized his subordinates to declassify and provide all information relevant to our investigations. Will they comply with his directive, or will the insurrection continue? We will hear howling and screaming that the president is politicizing the agencies and threatening national security. But what is the greater threat to our democracy? Transparency or the continued cover-up of an attempted coup against the duly elected president? Okay, so whatever you think about President Trump, and a lot of people think and feel a lot of things about him, even some of my most liberal friends have expressed serious concern about the behavior of the FBI and apparently even now the CIA and the Department of Justice about all this stuff. Now, I've talked before about this issue. Back in April, we talked about the Senate request for the FBI to turn over all documents pertaining to Crossfire Hurricane. They have not been, and I, among others, many others, are extremely concerned that they haven't been. What concerns me is that we've had a multi-year, multi-million dollar special prosecution against President Trump and his teams. We've had oceans of ink spilt, skies of hot air blustered concerning President Trump and Russia with the presumption and presupposition of guilt. And not only was there no evidence of guilt, but now we know that these investigations were either carried out under the most extreme and tragic form of incompetence, an incompetence that strains, if not defies, credulity, or they were carried out in bad faith. We had all this investigative work, all this public airing of dirty laundry, and all these revelations, but the FBI doesn't want to release its internal documents? That dog won't hunt. Something's rotten in the state of Denmark, and it is in the interest of all Americans who value actual justice to see these documents released. Now, back in April, I spoke about accountability, that the Bible teaches us plainly that when there are unaccountable people in leadership, it ends badly for everyone. Today, however, I don't want to focus on accountability, not because it isn't a major issue, of course it is, but because there's a simpler story here, one that is missed. The story we miss because our standards of morality and decency and righteousness are so anemic in this country that clearly wrong and evil things seem to just breeze past us. I'm talking, of course, about lying. We just take lying as a matter of course. We just assume that it's part of the political process. We just assume that politicians are going to lie. And we shouldn't assume that. It shouldn't be par for the course. And I don't care who does it. The other night during the debate, Kamala Harris told lies. And she should be called out on them. And her feet should be held to the fire about her lies. And when President Trump lies, he should be called out and his feet should be held to the fire. But nobody cares anymore. As long as the person lying is on your side, then it's all good, right? MSNBC, CNN, the print media, they get all up in arms about Trump's lies. And they should. They should. I don't want my president to lie. Lying is evil. But people stop paying attention when you only point out the lies of your political opponents and not the lies from your political friends. The performative outrage is tiresome. And it's only effective on those who already agree or those who are too lazy or too stupid to investigate further than the surface. And that goes for the spin doctors on Fox News and the new media, right, as well. I don't want to hear justifications for lies. Lies are bad. Lying is bad. Liars are bad. And what's worst of all is that liars are untrustworthy. I get tired of hearing myself tell my children this, but I constantly have to tell them that nobody can trust a liar. I constantly tell them to not let their integrity and honor be less valuable than a spanking. Now, I know that ideas like integrity and honor and the kind of handshake, word is my bond mentality are thought of as, you know, quaint and a bit old-fashioned, and they're just not capable of making it in this modern world, that if that's your worldview, you're just a little bit of a rube. Well, I say to hell with that. Literally, I mean, that idea that you have to lie to be a modern man or a modern woman is an idea that needs to go back to the pit of hell where it belongs. Because it's not really enough to talk about the FBI lying or the sources of information lying. It's not enough to talk about presidents and senators lying. It's not a government problem. It's an America problem. Recently, the Barna Group published their 11th American Worldview Survey of professing Christians. I'm quoting now an article about that survey from ChristianNews.net. A majority, 52% of evangelicals, reject absolute moral truth. 61% do not read their Bibles on a daily basis. 75% believe that people are basically good, the report outlines. And while elevating the essence of man to goodness, they have also radically humanized Jesus Christ. 43% believe he sinned while on earth and demoted the Holy Spirit to a symbolic status, 58%. Half do not believe that sex before marriage is sinful, and 40% think that lying is okay if done to protect one's reputation or advance their personal interests. 34% agree that abortion is acceptable if it spare the woman financial hardship or emotional discomfort. Pentecostals and charismatics are likewise concerning, as two-thirds, 69%, reject absolute moral truth. 54% are unwilling to define human life as sacred, with half claiming the Bible is ambiguous about its teachings about abortion, and 69% say they prefer socialism to capitalism. Further, the center notes, a full 45% did not meet the definition of born-again Christians. Not surprisingly, mainline Protestants showed the greatest departure from Orthodoxy, as 60% of those surveyed held their beliefs that directly conflict with the Bible. Quote, their customized belief system revolves around three key values. Truth and morality are decided by the individual, not God or the Bible. Life has no inherent value or purpose, so individuals should pursue personal happiness or satisfaction. And traditional religious practices are no longer seen as central or essential to their Christian faith, the center explains. Now, if you were able to concentrate through that deafening din of an avalanche of depressing data, then you might have noticed that there was a curious statistic about lying. But how evangelical Christians feel about lying, let me read it again because it's important. 40% think that lying is okay if done to protect one's reputation or advance their personal interests. Why else would you lie? So, as long as you're not a pathological liar, it's okay to lie? I mean, who lies for no reason? Who lies for any other reason but to protect or help themselves? I mean, so lying is okay as long as you're not, what, like the Joker? As long as you're not just trying to see the world burn, lying is okay? I mean, but hey, like, seeing the world burn, I guess, is the Joker's goal, so it's his personal interest, so is it okay for the Joker to lie? Like, I mean, good God in heaven, what is wrong with people? Okay, so 40% of evangelicals think that lying is okay. Well, let me give you some Bible. Let me tell you what God says. Proverbs 12:22. The Lord abhors a person who lies, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. Ephesians 4:17-32. So I say this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their hearts. Because they are callous, they have given themselves over to indecency and the practice of every kind of impurity and greediness. But you did not learn about Christ like this. If indeed you heard about him and were taught in him, just as the truth is in Jesus, you were taught with reference to your former way of life to lay aside the old man who is being corrupted in accordance with deceitful desires, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new man who has been created in God's image, in righteousness and holiness that comes from truth. Therefore, having laid aside falsehood, each one of you should speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on the cause of your anger. Do not give the devil an opportunity. The one who steals must steal no longer. Rather, he must labor, doing good with his own hands, so that he'll have something to share with the one who's in need. You must not let any unwholesome word come out of your mouth, only that which is beneficial for the building up of the one in need, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. You must put away every kind of bitterness, anger, wrath, quarreling, evil, and slanderous talk. Instead, be kind to one another, compassionate, forgiving one another, just as in Christ, God also forgave you. Or how's about Revelation 22:14-15? Blessed are those who wash their robes so they can have access to the tree of life and can enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and the sexually immoral and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. You want to know why our politicians are a bunch of self-serving, godless clowns? You want to know why our republic is collapsing in on itself? You want to know why our culture is disintegrating? You want to know why our churches are emptying and dying and nobody wants to come? Because half of the Christians in this country are totally okay with lying. Half of the Christians in this country love something that God hates. Frankly, I don't think persecution can come fast enough. Because I think that that's the only hope for the church in America is persecution. Violent, bloody persecution. The church in this country needs some extremely stern discipline. I just pray that it isn't too late. I pray that we're not past the point where even persecution wouldn't fix us. I pray we're not past the point of no return. Please, brothers and sisters, let's pray that it isn't too late. Let's pray that there can be revival in ourselves and in our churches among ourselves, even if it requires persecution. Because from where I sit, it looks like our lampstand is about to be snuffed out. Let's pray for revival, and let's live a revived life. I hope and pray we will. And I hope you'll join us again next week for another exciting episode of Truth in Journalism. Thank you, and may God bless your day to His glory.